Hey, it's Flaves, and this is Climate Changers, a podcast where we celebrate the heroes who are on the front lines of creating a new and sustainable resource and energy economy. Today, my guest is Finian Makepeace, founder of Kiss the Ground. Hi, Finian. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start at the beginning. What is regenerative agriculture and carbon farming?
I will try to give you the really simple version, and then there's numerous more complex versions. Regenerative agriculture, in the simplest way, I think, is agriculture that is causing regeneration. And the easiest way, if you're trying to get simple, is to look up the definition of agriculture, look up the definition of regeneration, and then you're basically looking at systems of agriculture that are helping to repair and make more functional or bring to their highest state of operation of land. So land evolved to function. Soil evolved to absorb water and create the place and the space for billions and billions of organisms to exist and proliferate. That is an evolution that's taken place. So when we look at agriculture and the current state of soils and land across the world, we see that we're in a very, very insane situation where just alone in the United States, we're losing 4 tons of topsoil per acre per year. So that means the land is so degraded that is in so many scenarios, we are contributing more to its degradation. And in many areas, it's actually self-degenerating because we have caused so much destruction of its capability of functioning. So if you take a metaphor of a human being or something that's broken, like a cup, right? A cup was designed to hold water, yeah? If you break a cup, it doesn't hold water anymore. If you build the cup back with glue or what have you, you can actually have the cup function again as it was meant to or as it designed itself to do over its evolution, again, bringing back to soil. So regenerative agriculture is regenerating the ability for the land to function, carrying capacity, and all of the other things that are involved with it. Carbon farming, I think from what my understanding, again, it's trying to be simple here, is farming that is making sure the land is increasing its carbon content. I am personally much more of a fan of the term and the concept of regenerative agriculture because the meaning is much more holistic in its framing of the landscape functioning again. And all of the intricacies that are necessary to make that happen. So really quick, you can't get regeneration of land without carbon. So if you're regenerating land, inevitably you're increasing its carbon content because the living systems of the world are based on carbon. So properly done regenerative farming, farming that's actually regenerating itself, has to use the carbon that's currently in the atmosphere as the building block of that regeneration, if that helps everyone to understand.
It certainly does. And what do you see as the potential scale of regenerative farming? Is it a niche practice, a whole new way of farming, or something in between?
One of my positions is that regenerative agriculture is unique in its position right now because of its scalability. The fact that it's based on a set of principles that are adjusted per context, climate, or what farmers or people who are managing land are able to do. It is really quite literally scalable anywhere to most forms of farming, where when you get down to the bottom of it, of where our land is right now, where are we starting from? And then are we regenerating it? If you're implementing certain principles and then the practices that follow based on your context, you can apply this to everything. Obviously, there are some forms of farming that are very difficult to have the land technically regenerate. So can they regenerate from where they are at least a bit more? Of course. So that's where we start from, is that anywhere around the world, agriculture can begin to regenerate itself, meaning regenerate the land that it's happening on.
And at a more personal level, could you talk about the journey as an activist that inspired you to create Kiss the Ground?
I have been an activist most of my life, environmentalist, racial equality, a bunch of different aspects of activism, policy, politics, what have you. I felt like I knew most of what there was to know back in my late 20s of around climate and where we were headed. To put it in perspective, I felt like I was in like the 90 percentile of people who really grasp the magnitude of climate, desertification, water shortages, et cetera. I felt like, okay, I got this. This is the most bleak trajectory that we're facing for humanity. And where I was at was kind of a level of apathy of like, well, what can we do? And most of the solutions were a little less bad. That to me was, of course, where I gravitated towards, but didn't really give me any confidence that we were going to save the day for the future of humanity or for the world. And when I learned about regenerative agriculture, that shifted. When I grasped that the soil was this huge opportunity for us to participate, everything shifted for me. So what I really moved from was, again, the little less bad type of conversation and the apathy that follows, to actually believing and understanding, comprehending that humanity could and can be stewards of global regeneration, amounting to a solution that surpasses almost every other solution, because it's not only sequestering carbon, for example, but it's also regenerating land, as I mentioned a minute ago, of does the land function again? Can the land be protecting people or whatnot from flooding or drought? Can the land hold and sustain and have the capacity for organisms, more and more living organisms, to be sustained and fed on that land? So this concept of rebuilding soil and that humans can participate in it and do it and help nature build soil faster than we ever thought possible, this was unique in the world of global solutions. And at that point, about 8 years ago, not a lot of people knew about it. So it was immediately for myself and the other co-founder, Rylan Engelhart, for both of us as activists, we started looking around being like, does anybody know about this? And it was a moment of like, well, if we didn't know and the people we're checking in with didn't know, probably most people are unaware of the level and scale of this solution. Lo and behold, most people weren't aware. Again, many indigenous cultures from around the world have really had this these concepts rooted in their the mentality and then the functioning of their societies that have been in many cases just wiped out and erased and forgotten or cast aside. But generally, populations across the world weren't utilizing this or not knowing that it was available to the extent it was. So that made us immediately jump into how do we help? How can a couple of people from Venice, California, help this agriculture and scientific and indigenous knowledge revolution that's available? And so we said, okay, we just got to start helping. And the first thing is to help spread awareness that it exists. You know, we learn from someone, maybe we can help others learn from us. So that propelled us to do whatever it took to start getting the message out and be messengers at the very least.
As somebody myself who's been criticized for not having enough dirt under my fingernails, yet clearly cares about climate and soils and believes regen ag is critical to our success, what can I and other advocates do to be an authentic and effective part of the movement?
It's a great question. When I work training soil advocates in our soil advocate training, I'm constantly trying to remind people that we desperately need this movement to become a bigger phenomenon. So when you look at any up-and-coming industry or up-and-coming phenomenon or movement, there are so many aspects where people's work is going to be different and what they're doing is going to be different. So if you look at the dot-com era, if you look at music industry, or you look at all these different areas, there are thousands of people have thousands of different jobs. For example, if you're from tech and advertising and you're like, well, I have these skills that don't apply to farming at all, I'll be like, well, there are farmers, especially like indigenous communities that are working on purveyors of regenerative bison, for example. If you are awesome at online tool building and online shopping and advertising to make markets available, to make distribution available, to make regional community purchasing decisions happen, you can play an integral role of the success of what someone is doing on the quote-unquote front lines. So when we look at the diversity of skill sets that are going to be necessary to make this movement be as profound and earth-changing as it can be, it does require so many different aspects. So what I encourage folks to do is dig in to find those things that are actually regenerative to you. What gives you that excitement in life and you would do anyway? How can you find those aspects of yourself that can be utilized for this movement? And I really think that there's nothing stronger than someone who's doing what excites them, but also utilizing the skills that regenerate them for themselves. So if that is farming, go ahead, do it. But if that is, you know, creating someone's website or lobbying to make sure that local purchasing decisions for institutions are changed to help regional regenerative agriculture, you're helping play a role that someone else might feel completely inadequate to do. So we have to address that this is a community effort. It's going to take multiple different people who are able to play a part.
And I'm currently enrolled in Kiss the Ground Soil Advocate Training Program. What's your vision for this program?
That's awesome. Thank you for doing that. And the program was initiated because we started to see that the limit of inspiration had its issues, where folks could get a concept, could get an inspirational moment from a short form piece of media or a longer piece of media like our new documentary. But a lot of folks who've come, especially through what we would call our normal education system, are wanting to have more available for them, but they don't necessarily think, oh, I'm just going to change my whole life and make this everything what my life is about and drop everything else and go into research mode for 6 months. So what I really saw was to make this movement happen across the globe, we desperately need more confident, articulate people who are able to go into public situations to address policymakers, to confer with businesses, to be community leaders. We need people who can comprehend this stuff and not have them take 7 years or 5 years to get to that place of adequately being able to represent the concepts in regenerative agriculture and the soil health movement. So we created a course called Soil Advocate Training to basically say, look, we've been spending the last 8 years creating messaging, creating the concepts that stick when you present this, making it so that you can make the argument for people on the economics or the water spectrum or climate and carbon sequestration, or communicate with farmers and strategies to do so. We've done a lot of that work. How can I hand that off to someone for them to build upon and not have to have them do all of their own presentation work, do all of their own back research, do all their own talking point documents? Why not share what we've created? So I really dove in to make that more accessible so that we can have thousands, if not millions, of advocates like myself and others out there versus forcing them to do it all on their own. So it's really a jump start for your advocacy in this movement.
How can members of my audience sign up?
Kisstheground.com. It's right on the front of the page. Become an advocate is the second little toolbar. Click on that and that'll take you to register. There are availabilities for discounts and or scholarships if you need that. But the course is jam-packed. There's a lot in there. The cost, we really try to make it uncost prohibitive. And again, there's scholarships if folks are in need of that. I personally think that there's a lot in there to allow for you to more quickly become a confident and powerful advocate for soil health and regenerative agriculture.
Well, you and I and other advocates care deeply about issues like water and health and nutrition and climate. Farmers and ranchers may care about these issues, but they're also business people working with slim margins. What's the upside for them?
Great question. The upside for them is that unlike some of the other standards that have been approached and or regulations that have been handed down, regenerative agriculture is really unique in that the pace at which you can reduce your input costs is so significant on nearly every aspect of agriculture, where you're seeing many times, and I would argue with groups like the Soil Health Academy, who are featured in Kiss the Ground, the movie, the folks that they train who make the transition, on average, they're seeing net savings year one and year two. And that's really important because most people, when they're considering a transition, think to themselves, oh, this payback is going to come 3 to 5 to 8 years from now. But when we really take a handle on the extent of inputs that are occurring on farms in the United States, for example, and all over the world, but just look at the United States, we're looking at an increase of farm debt 4% every year. So farmers are really in a cycle that is extremely hard for them. And a lot of it has to do with input cost, and also a lot of it has to do with their kind of arbitrary loan payback periods that they're on. There's an opportunity for farmers and ranchers across the U.S., as an example, to see such significant reductions in their input. I had a guy named, his last name's Grady, and he was in the Carolinas, and he had a quote that I put together. I think it was by year two, he had saved $90,000. I think this is on something like 2,000 or 3,000 acres. But I was just on with Rick Clark, who is one of the most infamous organic no-till, specializes in cover crops, but does roller crimping with green cover, pushes green covers down and plants directly into them. This is kind of lingo for people out there who aren't into it. Sorry about that. He's farming 7,000 acres with his family, and he's currently saving an average of $860,000 a year on input costs. So if you look at the average of what farmers right around him growing the same things that he's growing, the savings that he has, $860,000 a year. Just to put some perspective on how crazy our inputs have gone for farmers around the country. So when it comes to our communication with farmers, we really want to make sure as advocates, we're not assuming that the person we're talking to is interested in how much carbon they're going to sequester or interested in some of the, one of these other environmental aspects. We need to be able to have the conversation and bring them in and give them access to the people who are making things like the economic viability of this available to that farmer, first and foremost.
So clearly it makes business sense to make this transition, but what are the biggest barriers that farmers and ranchers face when they try to shift their operations to become more regenerative?
Great. There's a couple parts of that. First, I want to start with the training, the access to the training, how to do it, and the support networks that allow for you to do it. Farming communities are up against, you know, their peers. And a lot of times when a farmer is trying to make this transition, they're isolated and not able to work with their neighbors and their community very well because they're ostracized or pushed out. So community support from other farmers doing this and the trainers, having access to people who have proven these models, who are your trainers, who can continue with you in consultation is really crucial because unless we provide that, we're up against who farmers have been listening to for the past many years. And oftentimes that is their seed and chemical fertilizer provider, who is oftentimes their salesperson who's selling them those things. So the benefit for them is continuing these farmers on that trajectory. So we have to get real that we're up against that. Another thing is things like the farm bill and crop insurance and what farmers are up against there of the guarantee. If their crop fails and they keep doing everything the exact same that they're doing, they have a guarantee of a price that they're getting paid for a farm that didn't make it that year. So there are significant alterations to things like crop insurance to incentivize regenerative agriculture, which actually help the people who are providing that funding anyway, because once they're able to see kind of like good drivers from Allstate, you know, if you have a farm that's resilient because you're doing regenerative agriculture, your likelihood for needing crop insurance can significantly be reduced. So we're making those connections, helping making those connections to farmers. And the last thing is arbitrary loan deadlines are really hard because farmers are, in most cases, working to repay their loans, not working to change their practices over to regenerative. So when we look at the loan structure and the arbitrary principal due periods, we can make a lot of changes that are going to help the people financing and giving the loans to farmers to make sure that those are happening to regenerative farmers or farmers that are in transition. So those are three things that I think are really huge hurdles and all of us can help push. And if folks want to get involved with policy working, go to soilpolicyaction.us. It's a place where we will be launching many campaigns as well as places where you can see that you can contact your representatives to get them on board with this. And also where you can see state policy that is directly related to pushing for soil health.
Congratulations on your Netflix documentary, Kiss the Ground. It's a beautifully produced movie with an impressive cast and has inspired and educated so many people, including myself, about regenerative ag. How was this project born and what has its impact been on your organization?
That was a collaboration that we worked to inspire filmmakers, Josh and Rebecca Tickell, years ago. That was a long process. And what it really amounted to was Ryland and then myself encouraging these filmmakers and then helping them produce this movie to really help get the idea out. And it took a while to produce and to get finished. And we've been seeing it now spread all over the world and really giving people access to this, from university students to new farmers. You know, it exploded in India. It was really cool to see. To policymakers looking at this as a way to have their colleagues grasp the necessary transition of agriculture to regenerative. And of course, you know, the film represented a portion of this movement. And of course, the timing of the film had really huge benefits. And it also was a reminder and a wake-up call to a lot of people in the regenerative ag movement that this movement isn't as inclusive and representative as it needs to be. And so we've been working to make sure that as things grow and as this movement grows, that type of leaving out does not occur again. So it's been an amazing, prolific last several months, and also a time for deep reflection of kind of where the movement stands and where we as communications leaders in it have to do a better job of making sure that this movement is representing folks who are also leaders who have been excluded or not included.
Finian, thank you for all of your work to raise awareness about regenerative agriculture and to build a movement to promote it. And thank you for joining this episode of Climate Changers.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Every episode of Climate Changers has a call to action posted in the show notes. Each call to action has been curated to make it easy for you to help create the changes that we discussed today. Thank you for joining Climate Changers. Until next time.